Glad to see the house of the Lord so well filled. I appreciated that devotional meditation and the idea that life is a journey. When Brother Henry related that little incident of Daddy knowing the way home, my mind went to John chapter 14, where Jesus tells us that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let's remember that that's the end of the journey when we're home with the Father, with the Lord Jesus. Well, this morning I'd like to talk a little bit about another thing that we face on the journey. I'd like to share some warnings on deception. You may open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 9. We have here the story of how the Gibeonites tricked the leaders of Israel and thereby gained their lives. I'd like to read this story and then just share some thoughts with you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I don't have any doubt that we're living in the last days. We know that evil is very prolific and abounds all over the place. And we know for sure we live in perilous times. We could say a time when there are many, many pitfalls for us to stumble into if we're not careful. This verse 13, where it talks of seducers, it gives the idea of one who will lead you over to their cause without you knowing it. That's deception. So I think we do well to consider a few points for victory over deception. Let's read Joshua chapter 9. "And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. They went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country, now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan, which were at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, therefore now make a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now behold it is dry and moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephirah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them, we will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, Let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, We are very far from you, when ye dwell among us? Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, Because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid for our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now, behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation, and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. Have you ever been deceived or tricked so very thoroughly that afterward you look back and you wondered, had you taken leave of your senses that you were taken in that bad? And maybe it wasn't anything serious. But I wonder if that's how Joshua felt after he discovered that they had been tricked. They could conquer great armies. They could march around the wall of Jericho and the walls fall in. And now they were conquered or tricked by this band of, could we say, derelicts? People, they were probably unarmed. How could they have been so blind? Well, I'd like to consider a few things I see that went wrong in Joshua and the princes of Israel that resulted in their being deceived. And as we look at this, I'd like for us to consider ourselves. Consider the dangers that we face. First of all, remember that they had just conquered Jericho. Then they had the terrible defeat at Ai. But God showed himself strong in ridding sin from the camp. And then they went on to victory at Ai. I think possibly that they were exhilarated with success. And I don't want to be too hard on them because I think I can identify with that. But if we're not careful during these times, we fall prey to the devil's tactics, as Joshua did the Gibeonites. Victory is a time to rejoice. Seeing God work is a time to rejoice. It's a time to praise God for his work on our behalf. It's a time to be encouraged. It's also a time to be drawn close to him, not away from him. Humbly praising him for his work in our life. I'm sure that we've all heard of battles in history where a country may have had a string of victories, and in that become overconfident, and then been defeated by a much smaller army. We tend to like stories like that. Well, when we're overconfident in our own strength, defeat is just around the corner. When we're overconfident, our perception of reality is blurred, and we think we're invincible. Now, we would never say that, but it's in our attitude, it's in our actions. And it's during these times that the enemy can ensnare us by working willily. Secondly, they lacked perception. They leaned on their own understanding. It seems to me that they had a memory lapse. Joshua and the princes of Israel forgot a truth that even the Gibeonites knew. Verse 24, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. You would have thought that this truth would have been stamped on their minds with their continual conquest to conquer the land. But they failed to say, wait a minute. God didn't say anything about this. Moses didn't tell us anything about this. I don't believe that we should make peace with them. God commanded us to destroy all the inhabitants. I also see a lack of perception in Joshua in the way he believed their story without checking it out. Maybe we could say, second and third party identification. How differently it would have been had Joshua said, well, we'll send men back with you to your cities and to see if you are who you say you are. And then they would have known. But most importantly, verse 14, they did not ask counsel of the Lord. They did not ask counsel of the Lord. Just an interesting thought that I came across. It says here, the men took of their victuals. In other words, I guess in the league, they traded food. But they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. In other words, they trusted their own mouths more than the mouth of the Lord. They leaned on their own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 has timeless wisdom for us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Are we wise in our own eyes this morning? Or are we acknowledging him as Lord and director of our life? Are we walking how he directs us? Verse 8 here gives us the picture of health. But the sad truth is to follow our own inclinations results in instability and sickliness. We will be like the people in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, tossed to and fro. Will be carried about with every wind of doctrine. And there we will fall prey to those that will take us in craftiness. In Ephesians 4 verse 14 says that they lie in wait to deceive. That tells us how serious it is, because to think that the devil has men who lie in wait to deceive us. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be tossed to and fro, but rather we want to be grounded in the Lord. To be grounded in the Lord, our independent, overconfident, prideful nature will have to go, and and will be replaced with trust, humility, and a love for the truth. Well, we'll come back to some of these aspects a little later, but now I'd like to consider the enemy. Now, before I go there, I'd like to just say I don't stand in judgment for what the Gibeonites did. I believe that they were truly afraid for their lives. I believe that they understood that the power of the God of Israel was real. And for some reason, God allowed this to happen. And the Gibeonites were basically assimilated into the nation of Israel. It really shows the mercy of God. We know that God held the Israelites to their promise to let them live. We can read about that later in King David's reign. The children of Israel suffered because Saul had killed some of them. However, we can learn some lessons from this account about how the enemy of our soul operates, how he works willily to get us to fall. To work willily means to be clever, crafty, or sly. And we see how they made up this embassage that appeared to come from a far country, from a faraway place. I would almost get the idea that they made the impression that they were not even from the land of Canaan. It says a far country. But either way, they made it look as if they had journeyed long. As Christians this morning, do we understand that our enemy is crafty? He's sly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'd like to read a couple verses from there. Verses 1 through 4. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So here in these verses, Apostle Paul was concerned that after all the effort that he exerted to establish the church in Corinth and to root out sin, they would still be taken unawares by false teachers. Notice, through subtlety or deception, they will preach another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. And in verse 4, the words at the end of the verse, that ye might well bear him, means that they tolerated this, or they even welcomed this false teacher and his teaching. That sounds familiar of today's society, doesn't it? Toleration. It's the main rule. Then again, their craftiness is brought out in verse 13 through verse 15. Satan comes to deceive. He appeals to some aspects of the Christian life, and yet taking away from the truth in others. Jesus experienced this when he was tempted by Satan in Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. I'll just read those verses. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Satan appealed to Jesus on God's promise that he would protect his children. And that is a true promise. But Jesus saw through Satan's suggestion. If he would do this, he would have been putting himself under satanic power. Satan did not need proof Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus did not need to prove that he was more powerful than Satan. Jesus saw through what Satan was suggesting here. But Satan appealed to Christ through that promise of God. So what are some of the things that we face? Does the devil come to us as an angel of light? Could we be like Joshua, taken off guard and deceived? Yes, we can, if we're not careful. I guess there's about two things that I'd like to talk about here, some things that we face that are on my mind. First one, a danger I see is there are many things morally that we as conservative Anabaptists and conservative Protestant people are in agreement. For example, we both have strong feelings that abortion is wrong. Many conservative Protestants believe in the sanctity of marriage. Many, and they have other strong feelings about the family. And there are other things. But while we may agree in some areas, we cannot form a league or alliance with them because in other areas we believe far different. And I believe that this is an area we can be deceived because of the things that we agree on, and we can come under wrong influences. Just for example, you remember last Sunday, Brother Sim told us that Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday, it's the 500th year mark of Martin Luther, was it nailing the 95 theses to the church door? Well, I specifically looked out a presentation about Martin Luther that was given by a Protestant group. And Martin Luther was praised as being a hero of faith. And almost nothing was said of his wrong ideas. And I listened to that presentation specifically to see if they would say anything about his anti-Semitic views. And nothing at all was said. But to them, he is a hero of faith. So we see where we can be ensnared. Sometimes we feel pressure to join them because of the things we agree on. But we cannot do that and not be ensnared by the whole package. Remember, boycotts, rallies, political clout, protests, marches, they're not God's way for the church to combat evil. They may get our sympathy if it's for a good cause, but it's not God's way. So let's be careful. And I'm not saying at all that there aren't sincere Christians in those groups, because I know that there are. But as a church, we cannot align ourselves with them. The devil is crafty, and if he can entangle us by appealing to our moral values, he will. Another area that we might get enslaved in or ensnared in is alternative medicine. Again, Satan appealed to Jesus on the promise of God's protection, so alternative medicine might appeal to us because of the claim that it works. It sounds good, it looks good, others are doing it, so it must be right. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. This verse implies that we're to discard that which is not good or evil, and we need to be faithful in doing that. We need to be faithful in discarding occultic methods of healing and health care. There are so many variations of this out there. I guess those were the two main things on my mind, but I know we can get tempted on many levels. Deception can happen on a personal level. It can happen on a group level. It can happen in our financial the financial aspect of our lives. It can happen in the social aspect of our lives and the spiritual. Although, if we're spiritually awake, we will be much less susceptible to deception. Going back to the account of Joshua and the Gibeonites, I'd like to notice in verse 8, the Gibeonites said, "We are thy servants." That's the grounds that they appealed to Joshua on. We are thy servants. Now on the surface that sounds wonderful. It sounds good. But if you let a servant into your country, as in Joshua's case, or in our case, our life, that servant will either be a help or a hindrance. And it could turn out that if we're not spiritually perceptive, the thing we thought would be our servant will make us its slave. Do you think that could have been part of the appeal to Joshua and the princes? Here were a people who were offering to be their, to chop their wood for all the building that they had to do and to bring the water. It would leave them able to do much more in other areas. Why not let them live? But let me tell you, if the devil comes to us offering to be our servant, it is sure we will become his slave. Just as an alcoholic might start drinking just to be social, just to be friendly, and end up in the gutter, a slave to drink. And you know what happened to the children of Israel in the next chapter. And again, I know God was at work through all this, just as he is at work in our lives. But when the other nations heard that the Gibeonites had made a league with Israel, they came up to war against them. They didn't like that. And the Gibeonites called to Joshua, "Come, we're your servants. Come up quickly and save us." So in a sense, the Israelites became their servants. To me, that is what's so treacherous about this whole thing. If we allow the enemy into our life one way or the other, he will take us. He may come under the guise as something good to deceive us, but when he has his foot in the door, we become his slave. Will we make a league with the world? I pray not. I'd like to mention a few ways yet to guard against deception. Some of this is just a recap of what I already shared. Sometimes the thought is shared, what is so dangerous about deception is we don't know when we're deceived because we think we're right. Like Joshua, he found out about 3 days too late. He had been deceived. So the thing that impresses me is we need to be prepared before. We need to be prepared before so that we don't get led astray. And I find it interesting in reading the epistles that time and time again the writers would warn of deceivers, preparing their hearts, the hearts of their audience, that deception would come. So first of all, we must love God with all our heart. Love God with all our heart. This may sound too simple, but if we love God with all our heart, there won't be room for provisions for the flesh, like selfishness, like pride. And to me, that's probably the part in us that deception appeals to us, our carnal nature. So love the Lord God with all your heart. And it needs to be more than lip service, but it needs to be action. Secondly, we must love the truth. Have you ever known someone, or maybe you've experienced it yourself, where we knew what the truth was, we knew what God's way was, but there was a battle going on inside our hearts because we did not want to submit to it? It's during those times that the devil offers those pleasing temptations, where he says you can do both. You can serve God plus give room for the flesh. Why not do it? And he gets his foot in the door. The answer to that is love the truth and submit to it. Thirdly, Romans chapter 13. A couple of verses there I'd like to read. Verse 11, and that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. To me, these verses speak of spiritual perception, alertness, not drowsiness, being able to see, and having knowledge. Verse 12 of Romans chapter 13 talks about the armor of light, light for the path. If we have spiritual perception, we will be able to perceive deceit and expose it and avoid it. Fourthly, know God's word and by all means ask Him for counsel. Let's not be like Joshua was in this case. Joshua was a hero of faith. He made many right decisions, but he was human, and he made this mistake that we can learn from. When we face questions, ask wisdom of God and know what His word says. And then lastly, love and help. Love and accept help from the brethren. So many times we cannot see ourselves the way we are, and we need others to show us. We need others to warn us if we're starting down the wrong pathway. We need each other, so love the brethren and accept help from them. That's all I have this morning. I trust that this little discourse will help us to guard against deception and stay on the right path home. God bless you.